Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
That's right. That's why we're here with Herb the Consumer Man Weissbaum, contributing editor, checkbook.org, because we don't want to get fooled again. Isn't that right, Herb?
We don't want to get fooled the first time.
That'd be a different song.
That's the goal, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hi, John.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Nice to be with you again.
I love it when you come on because you know your stuff, and these are the kind of things people need to be aware of. Why don't we just start out here with a fraud alert. Malicious QR codes now being used by online scammers. You know, anytime the internet connects with cell phones or codes or whatever, I mean, that's all possible scam territory, isn't it?
Yeah. Anytime something becomes popular, it's where the bad guys follow the news, they follow trends, and when they see something grow in popularity, that's where they gravitate. And these QR codes, which basically came out of nowhere during the pandemic, have now caught their attention. For those who are not watching this program but only listening on the radio, let's make sure we know what we're talking about. You know those the little squares you see everywhere with all the patterns? It's like a Rorschach test, you know, that you see everywhere now. And they're used for everything. I mean, they are used in supermarkets, they're used at the airports, they're on billboards, they're on product packages, business cards. You can pay at the checkout counter using PayPal, some stores using it. I actually got a credit card, John, the other day, and it said to authenticate your credit card to activate it, just scan the QR code. I mean, they are everywhere.
Yeah.
So this is why the bad guys are gravitating them, because we're using them now all of a sudden. And what they're able to do is, because you can't tell where the QR code is going to take you, really. You might see a URL, a web address, and an email that looks kind of suspicious. It's embedded in that image you can't see. They're able to put their QR codes out there, and if you happen to scan it, happen to click on it, or not paying attention, you could wind up on one of their phishing websites. So you could think you're going to a bank website, and they have their imposter fake website that will try to get your personal information, maybe your login information, maybe with a bank, one that they're doing an imposter scam, that they could try to get your social security number or account number, that sort of thing. Or they get you there, and then you're not noticing because you won't ever see it, they'll download malicious software onto your smartphone or your mobile device, and then they can suck all kinds of information off of your device. So that's why you've got to be careful when you use these QR codes. And in doing the story, I started this a couple of months ago, and I was poking around, and I'm going, is it really a problem, or are we just warning you about a potential problem? You know, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves where they could use this as a scam versus they are using it as a scam. And I'm here to tell you they are using it to commit their frauds, because I checked with the Better Business Bureau, and their scam tracker website is now getting reports of people who are falling for scams related to QR codes. So it is indeed a scam that is actually happening, not just they could do that sort of thing.
As you mentioned, it looked like a Rorschach test, these QR codes. So somebody who wanted to do a scam, if they put out a fake QR code, I mean, it looks exactly the same as a real one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean literally exactly the same.
Unless you're paying attention, you know, most of the apps or the phones now tell you, here's the URL you're going to, but most people assume they don't need to look at that.
Okay.
That's the whole value of the code. You know, you wouldn't catch it. But what they're using it for, John, the ones we've seen on the Scam Tracker website from the BBB, is to get money from people. So a couple of real examples. A couple reports they lost $1,600 trying to rent a vacation house when the, quote, rental agent said, just use my QR code to pay the deposit using a Bitcoin ATM machine. They sent their money. They're never going to see it again. Or a caller who got someone who got a call from the power company threatening to turn off the electricity in just 20 minutes because they had a $973 outstanding bill, but everything would be okay if they went to a nearby kiosk and downloaded a Bitcoin app and then paid the money that way. Again, you know, this is one of the things where when you do that, the money's never coming back again. Or an investment scam. Here's how they, some people see these investment opportunities on social media. Just send us your money via QR code. You send them the money, and you're never going to see it again. So, again, this person, by the way, lost $5,100 by sending money to an investment offer that they saw somebody who said they'd make them a lot of money, and they sent them the money. They made a lot of money, and they're never going to see the $5,000 again, unfortunately.
So what do we do about this as consumers with these big codes everywhere?
Well, there's a couple of ways you can protect yourself. First of all, the majority of them are okay, so you don't need to be paranoid. You just need to be careful. Look for any kind of tampering. If you're going to a restaurant or a store or whatever, and there's something on top of the QR code, like somebody stuck a label on or another QR code is pasted on, you might want to think twice or stop sitting at the restaurant. Did you just change the QR code, or did somebody monkey around with this sort of thing? I would never use a QR code that tells you free Wi-Fi. I just don't think that's a safe thing to do. You don't want to download an app suggested by a QR code. The QR code says, here you go, download this app. Go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store if you want to download apps. Don't ever use a QR code that comes from a stranger. I don't care if they promise you free vacation, free money, coupons, a quick way to make cash. Don't ever use a QR code sent to you from an absolute stranger. And sometimes these use really shortened web addresses. And unless you can read the full web address when you scan that QR code, I would steer clear of it because you have no idea where it's going to take you. And my final tip, and this is really important, and a lot of people don't know this, John, is that you can get antivirus, you can get security software for your cell phones. Our cell phones are our lives. It has all our personal, they have all our personal information in that little gizmo. Get security software for your mobile device. In many cases, it's free or very low cost. It can warn you about phishing sites. It can warn you about malicious downloads of malware. You really have to protect your mobile device now because, you know, you also plug it into your computer when you get home, and then you can transfer all that bad stuff right onto your desktop. So it's really, really important to have antivirus and security software on your mobile device.
He is Herb, the Consumer Man Weissbaum, contributing editor at checkbook.org, and we've got some more scams and some more financial things to discuss, which we will do when we come back on 720 WGN. Get that. Wait a minute. Don't get it. No. That's Scam Likely calling again. That guy bothers me all day long. 920, John Landecker at 720 WGN. We're with Herb, the Consumer Man Weissbaum, contributing editor of checkbook.org. And Herb, I believe we have a listener calling in who has a comment or a question. Sherry, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm glad you're on. They're having very informative people on this show, and we just discovered this radio station. Anyway, I mean, we knew
really?
The radio station. Anyway,
cool.
Yes. Who am I talking to? Is this John or is this
Yeah.
Herb?
No, this is John.
You're talking to both of us.
But yeah, John and Herb.
Well, I figured. Okay, John. And the other thing, I'll tell friends or people, you know, because we really haven't been commiserating with other people because of the COVID and then now the Delta. So, but if I'm on the phone, I'll say, oh, yeah, David found on the car radio 720 and John Records Landecker was on. And they said, yeah. And I said, and he was doing animal stories. But I said, not like the old animal stories with the wolf's Halloween. I said, but he has, you know, just picks out these animal stories. And every reaction, I think I've told two or three people, and they go, John Records, really? I said, yeah, 720 a.m. So I'm getting the word out there.
So do you have a question for Herb?
Yes, for Herb, because you sound very knowledgeable, sir. And I didn't catch your website name, but don't worry. And I have a laptop that's a Dell. I also have the Mac Pro, which is Apple. But my Dell, which has, I don't remember the name of it. I bought one with a Prism, and I never, ever used it because I didn't understand. I think that was the name of it. But then this one had the tile thing on it where it would actually run and use up your gigabytes, which I didn't know. However, I'll use it, and I'll go to Google, and the page comes up fine if you Google a question. But when I go to certain sites, in short, it says, your browser is so old, you know, you can't do this. So I am looking for, and I have a friend, he said, yes, I use Firefox, but then when I somebody else told me it's not being supported with like malware updates.
And okay, let me try to answer your question for you. You're looking for
a good browser. I want something that's not huge. I want one that's not a huge file to download because I have no clue about this laptop.
Well, none of them are huge.
Huh? Oh, the Google Chrome I heard is very big. And then also one that doesn't really track you or search you.
Okay, let me try to answer the question. First of all, I believe it was Lou Jack who did the animal stories, and my website is consumerman.com. Some of the best browsers are as follows. Kim Komodo, Commando, who just rated these, and she's a great tech security expert, she actually says that Brave is the best for privacy. That's a browser that a lot of people are not aware of. I mean, most people have heard of Chrome, and most people have heard of Firefox. She likes Brave because they don't store see your browsing history. It has a lot more privacy things. But I've used Brave, and it works really, really well. I have a whole bunch of different browsers. I mix it up. But that's one you might consider a Brave. Also, Firefox is really good. Firefox is still being supported. Firefox is being was put together by a nonprofit, a group of people who really believe in protecting people, and Firefox has a lot of really good protections in it. So I actually like Firefox. For real good security, and a lot of people don't use this, I've never used it, is Tor. That's the one that actually a browser that lets you go on and use the dark web in some situations, but Tor has a lot of built-in privacy features. I think you're in most cases fairly good with Chrome, but Firefox is really good. Edge, Microsoft Edge, that replaced the old Internet Explorer, which is not supported anymore, and some people still use it. And a lot of websites won't let you access if you use Internet Explorer. Edge has got a lot of really good security features built into it, so Microsoft did a really good job switching from IE to Edge. So that's something to consider. Edge. There's also a group called Epic. They're a privacy group, epic.org, and they have their own browser as well, and that's really designed for total privacy and lack of tracking. So those are some to consider. Firefox is good. Edge is really good for Microsoft. You might want to go to epic.org. You might want to consider Brave. And for Mac, it's probably Safari. That's probably, I'm not a Mac guy, but that's probably your best bet for Mac is using Safari. So, and you know, they track us, but John, a lot of times the people worry about tracking, and I don't really care if who knows what kind of toilet paper I use or whatever. And we always talk about how you know, I love it when I search something and I buy it, and then for 3 weeks, I just bought a new computer, and then for 3 weeks I get the ads. If you're so smart, how come you don't know I just bought a computer? Why are you wasting your ad dollars advertising to me? But the problem is we give most of our information away. We put way too much on Facebook. We give way too much information on social media, answer too many questions that come in to our email popping out of nowhere. Yeah, tracking's a problem, but you know, that's most of that isn't malicious. It's just designed to sell us stuff. Where we get into trouble is where we share all of our information and we give it out voluntarily. That's what I'm really, really concerned about.
Well, and rightfully so. I mean, that's the trap, is that for most of us, we're not that aware of the possible pitfalls that come just from going about your regular business on the internet. Everybody gets on the internet now for God knows what, whether it's, you know, Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat. You know, it goes on endless. And you just named a whole bunch of browsers I've never even heard of. You know what I mean? I mean, I mean, that's sort of a mind blower. I didn't even realize there were all these browsers out there.
Yeah. And they've gotten a lot better, and that's really good. And there's a lot more focus on security protocols, which, I mean, I have some of these now I use, John. They'll warn you that you don't really want to go here. This isn't safe. It looks at the embedded protocols on the website to make the is this who they claim to be? And it'll go, whoa, don't click here. You don't want to go there. Every once in a while it gets it wrong, and you really know you're in the right place and want to go there. But a lot of these browsers, phishing website. I wouldn't go here if I were you. And of course, with the browsers, you have to keep updating them. When there's an update, either update them or you have to, yourself update them. I set it to automatic because a lot of those are better protection, but some of them also are patches. They fix something that's wrong with the browser. So you have to make sure you have your operating system and your browser set up to automatically update so you get all the latest fixes that the companies are sending out, these tech companies. It doesn't last forever. You got to keep updating it all the time.
Okay, so how does the cell phone recognize a call and then label it scam likely. How does that? How is that triggered?
There's a brand new protocol that the Federal Communications Commission basically set up with a phone company. It's called Stir Shaken. And a long story short, it is a thing designed to give these calls protocols that indicate to the phone company this is who it claims to be. It's like, you know, a little like a passport kind of thing that they can digitally read. It's just starting. There have been a lot of stories I've read that how scam calls are going down and they're not getting through. And I certainly haven't experienced it. And I've talked to some of the companies that deal with this, and they say they really haven't seen it at this point in time. There'll be more alerts to it.
I get it all the time.
Well, they're not blocking them. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see my phone not ring. And that was supposedly the goal that it was going to. That's what everybody would love to see. But yes, at least getting a warning is a big step forward. And hopefully the next step will be, they don't ring. they can block them all together. But yes, getting that warning is very helpful. And I think as we get more companies starting that protocol, 6-8 months from now, I think it's going to be a lot better situation. But yes, that is a really big step forward.
It's Herb the Consumer Man Weisbaum. He's contributing editor at checkbook.org, which is obviously the website where you can read what he has to say. That is checkbook.org. And there's articles about student loan payments and data breaches and all sorts of stuff that you can pick up about how to safeguard your online accounts and just have a better, more secure time on the Internet of Life. Thanks, Herb. Always great to be with you. Thank you so much for spending time with us tonight.
Thanks, John. Be well. Talk to you soon.